Moving on now, we're going to talk about paid family leave and how rare it is in this country.
The United States is the only advanced economy in the world that does not guarantee any kind of paid leave. But this month, Rhode Island became the third state to offer workers paid family leave, and Massachusetts lawmakers are debating a similar measure.
At the same time, lawmakers in Washington are proposing a federal law to offer paid leave in case of sickness or family emergency. So change is definitely in the air.
In his State of the Union address last night, President Obama urged Congress to act on many issues, and one of the few that earned bipartisan applause was a call for new workplace rules around time off.
All right. We don't have that tape from President Obama, but he talked about how a mother deserves a day off to care for a sick child or a sick parent without running into hardship. And for that matter, he said a father does too. So from the White House to Congress to Rhode Island to Beacon Hill, there are new laws and new proposals to expand paid family leave. Will it happen? Is it a good idea? We're going to talk about that right now. And joining us is Sarah Jane Glynn. She's the Associate Director of the Women's Economic Policy at the Center for American Progress. And Sarah Jane Glynn, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
And listeners, we want you in on this conversation as well. Have you used paid family leave? Have you delayed things like medical care or having children because you don't have access to it? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Sarah Jane Glynn, we're going to bring in a few local voices to talk about the state of paid leave in Massachusetts and the rest of New England in just a moment. But tell us which American workers and which states have access to paid family leave. What's the state of affairs right now?
Well, right now, the only federal legislation that we have protecting workers when they have a family emergency or if they fall ill is the Family and Medical Leave Act, which was passed almost 21 years ago. The anniversary of that's actually next week. So about half of the workforce qualifies under the rules of the FMLA, which only provides job protection. Mm-hmm. If you have a baby, if you become seriously ill, or if you have to provide care for a family member, it may protect your job, but it's not going to guarantee that you have any wage replacement.
Yeah. And what's your best sort of case for why that isn't enough? Why just job protection isn't enough?
Well, right now, only about 12% of workers in America have access to paid leave through their employer if they have family responsibilies. But, you know, anybody who looks at their own life can understand why that's simply not enough. If you become seriously ill, if you have a family member who's seriously ill that you need to stay home to take care of, or if you welcome a new baby into your home, that's not a time when most people can afford to say, all right, well, I'm just not going to have any earnings during this time period. Those are oftentimes very expensive life events. Losing all of your income isn't really an option for a lot of people. And that means even when folks do qualify for unpaid leave, very often they can't afford to take it, or they take less leave than they need because they can't go without a paycheck.
You know, we put out, we mentioned in the introduction that we read that the U.S. is really the only advanced economy in the world that does not guarantee workers access to any form of paid leave. When it comes to paid family leave, how do we compare to other countries?
Well, right now, we're one of the only countries on the planet that doesn't have paid maternity leave for new moms. You know, we're in the company of Liberia and Papua New Guinea on that measure. And if you look at advanced economies that are the most comparable to the United States, all offer paid maternity leave. Most offer some form of paternity leave for new fathers, and they all offer paid sick days, which allow people to stay home if they have the flu or a short-term illness. Mm.
So I know that there are efforts in Washington to pass a federal family act, which I want to talk to you about. But first, I want to bring it home a little bit, if I could, to the region. Talk a little bit about what Rhode Island did. They started this month with their version of paid family leave. Can you describe what that state did?
Yeah, so Rhode Island is the third state now to have a state-level paid family leave program. And they followed the model that we saw first in California and then in New Jersey, where they built upon an already existing temporary disability program. And they've added to that now the ability of workers to take time off and receive wage replacement if they have a new baby or if they need to care for a family member. And there are some differences between the states in terms of how long you can take leave and what the level of wage replacement is. is. But all three states are offering social insurance programs that are paid into by workers through a very, very small payroll tax. For most workers, it ends up being just a couple of dollars a week. But that means that if you experience one of these life events, you don't have to worry about no longer receiving a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And the program in Rhode Island is very new. It's just gone into effect this month. But we have a decade of data coming out of California that shows there are a number of really strong positive impacts on individual families, on businesses, and on the state economy overall as a result of their paid family leave program.
All right. Well, let me bring a couple of voices, more local voices, into this conversation. Bill Vernon is here in the studio. He's the Massachusetts director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which represents small and very small business owners. And he joins me right here in the studio. And welcome back to Radio Boston, Bill. Good to have you.
Good to be here.
Also with us on the line from Beacon Hill is Representative Kay Kahn. She's a state rep from Newton. She chairs the legislature's Joint Committee on Children, Families, and Persons with Disabilities. That committee just approved a bill that would mandate paid family leave, and it's considering a bill that would mandate paid sick leave as well. And Kay Kahn, thanks to you as well. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Tell us, Kay, let me start with you. What would these bills do if they become law? Flesh out a little bit about some of the benefits they'd provide.
Sure. Well, paid sick time. We call it earned paid sick time. And I think this is a very important bill. As Franklin Roosevelt said in 1934, nothing can be more important to a state than its public health. And this act is a powerful demonstration of our commitment to public health, working families, and a healthy and humane economy. And in Massachusetts, nearly 40% of workers lack a single guaranteed paid sick day. That means that nearly half of the hardworking people in our state will lose wages and even may risk losing their jobs if they choose to take care of themselves or their family members when they get sick. When people go to work sick, we all pay that price. Without paid sick days, many workers are forced to go to work while coughing, sneezing, or worse, spreading a virus like we saw with the H1N1 a couple of years ago. So instead of staying home and seeking treatment, they go to work and they then expose the workers around them. This happens with a person who goes to work, and then it also happens if a family member feels like they need to get to work, and therefore they may drop their children at a public school or a preschool, whatever that they are using, and then you have children that are exposed to colds as well. And I think we all are very much aware of this now. When somebody comes to work sick, or if a child is dropped off that's sick,
right? It's not a good idea. It's going to spread it around. Representative Kay, I want to ask you why has it taken this long to get to this point? And by that I mean, you know, here in Massachusetts, we like to think of ourselves as sort of ahead of the curve on these kinds of issues. Why are we still only debating these things on Beacon Hill right now? What's taken so long to move this ball along?
Right. Well, I think that this is actually the third session that I have filed this legislation along with my Senate counterpart. And it's really very sad, I think, that it hasn't moved along, because we have about 1 million workers here in Massachusetts that are unable to earn paid sick time. And I think, in fact, it's, at least from what I can tell, it's been the business community that has not been happy about this and have, you know, weighed in. And really, this bill, I think we tried to work with the business community to really craft something that was going to be fair to them as well. And so we, in order to promote small business employers with 10 or fewer workers, they will only be required to provide unpaid sick time, not even paid sick time. And then workers who employ more than 11 or more workers will be responsible to earn paid sick, to give paid sick time.
Sure. Well, you mentioned the business community. Let me bring Bill Vernon into this conversation. Bill Vernon, excuse me, he's the Massachusetts director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Bill, I understand that many of your members oppose some of these kinds of proposals. What's the major concern out there?
Major concern with small businesses that I represent, and appreciate the legislature's attempt to move to unpaid leave for companies of less than six, but I think that is an admission that moving to this kind of system as a state puts us at a competitive disadvantage and costs us jobs and adds to the cost of doing business. The major theme that I hear from our members 8,000 small businesses in Massachusetts is that it is an intrusion into their operation of the business. You know, businesses are not required to provide pensions. Some do when they can afford it, a lot do. They're not even required to provide vacation time in most businesses. Most do. We're actually moving, I think, a lot of businesses are moving to time off type of system where you get a certain amount of time off and you can use it any way you want, whether you want to use it on personal time, sick time, or however you use it, you get a certain amount of time off. A lot of businesses are moving to that. But this is, small businesses aren't even required to provide health insurance. A lot do because it tends to attract better employees. So this is an intrusion into the workplace. Let me also say this, that I think there's a fundamental difference about New Jersey and Rhode Island using a temporary disability program that's been in existence for more than a half a century.
So that would be less onerous on businesses.
Because it's paid for by employees. And the only concern I had about Rhode Island, and I work in Rhode Island as well as Massachusetts, is the funding. If you're going to go to this type of time off, the concern is that there won't be enough money in the fund and that the taxes will have to be increased on employees because the employees pay for that.
Sure. And Representative Kahn, I'm sure you've got a response to Bill Vernon, but let me just go to Sarah Jane Glynn at least one more time, because Sarah Jane Glynn, this I'm sure is a concern that has been voiced as other states have tried this. What's the response to the concerns of business folks that Bill Vernon just articulated so clearly?
Well, I think San Francisco can provide a really useful example because they've had a paid sick days law in effect since 2007. And the research that's been done since then has found that most of the fears, it was the same ones that we just heard from Bill, that the business community had before the law went into effect, have proved to be unfounded. Businesses have not had to close their doors. They have not moved out of San Francisco County. Growth in San Francisco County was faster after the passage of the law than it was in surrounding counties. And the vast majority of businesses who have been impacted by the law have said that it's either had zero impact on their running of their business or it's had a positive impact in terms of better health among their workers, increased productivity because you don't have people showing up to work sick and doing maybe a third as much work as they would normally do. They're able to take that time off, stay home, get better, and come back when they're fully prepared to do their job. And it is really a public health concern as well. You know, there's national data showing that somewhere between two-thirds and three-quarters of food service workers have gone to work sick, even when they know they've had something that's possibly contagious. And so that's something we really need to keep in mind. This isn't just about a nice perk for workers. This is really about public health and public safety.
Mm. Bill, let me get you to respond to that, because, you know, I think anyone hearing you could certainly understand the idea of being concerned about an intrusion into small businesses. But isn't this really about laws that go a long way toward making life better and more secure for families, happier workers? Doesn't that end up being good for businesses?
And I think that those businesses that can afford, whether it be health insurance or vacation time or pension benefits, will provide that sick time. They'll provide it. The businesses that I represent oftentimes are families, and they worked out these issues every day of the week. They worked on them for decades, and they've worked them out with their employees. So I think that these issues are resolved in many cases, and it's small businesses in Massachusetts, frankly, feel besieged. They're besieged by probably an increase in the minimum wage coming up. They're besieged by the highest unemployment insurance in the country. They are besieged by an independent contractor law that makes it very difficult to be an independent contractor in Massachusetts, a unique law, and now paid sick leave. And these expenses, while one may not break a business when you
there's
add
straws
them all up,
that add up.
Yeah. They add up, and we haven't had any, frankly, any employment growth in Massachusetts in over a decade. We're finally back to the number of workers that we had 12 years ago, and we need to have policies that foster the generation of jobs, not those that limit them.
Well, Kay Kahn, I'm sure you're concerned about economic growth in the state. Respond to Bill Vernon's concern about, you know, maybe one more straw could really sort of do in this camel's back.
Well, I would just say, first of all, we have very much tried to listen to the business community. And in fact, the new legislation talks about employers with 10 or fewer workers, not six. We were at six at one point, but we've moved it up to 10. And I would just like to add that I think that if workers are allowed to have paid sick time off, I think they feel it's about feeling valued by their employer. I think it promotes loyalty. I think that's really better for business. Also, the other thing we found is that people here we have in Massachusetts, we've got great health care laws, a great health care law. And what happens is that people, if they can't get to the hospital or if they can't get a child to their pediatrician during the day, they end up in the emergency room. So some studies have been done about that. And the folks who are ill, if they have to go to work, they then go to the emergency rooms afterward because their physician is not available after 5 o'clock. So I think that there are many aspects that have to be considered. And we, frankly, have been discouraged here in Massachusetts that we haven't been able to move forward. So we will be seeing this on the ballot in November. We have accumulated enough signatures to get us on the ballot. I don't know if it's all been certified yet, but that is the way that we're moving. Progressive Massachusetts is very much invested in this, as they are with the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to add that I think the paid family leave bills that have passed, and they're using this small employee payroll deduction, that's fine if you're making a decent salary. But even if you move up the minimum wage to $10 an hour, or, you know, we're also looking at maybe a little higher, that's still onerous for someone to have a payroll deduction with their with the salary that they'll be making if they're a minimum wage person. So I just think that we really need to think about this as being better for business than not, because if they can hold on to their employees, they don't have to train new employees. People will stay at work. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it's better for the all-around holistic approach to all of this, because people will feel much more valued if they can know that if they get sick, they can take that time off.
Sure, and that's the crux of the debate. And I think, Kaycon, you lay out your case pretty well, as do you, Bill Vernon. And interesting to see how this will play out. And, of course, we've got the ballot measure coming up, which I didn't even know about. Sarah J. Glynn, so we've been hearing a little bit about some of the action here at the state level. What about federally? Tell us about the proposed Family Act. What would that do?
So the Family Act was introduced last month in the House by Representative Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut and in the Senate by Kirsten Gillibrand from New York. And it would create a new program through the Social Security Administration. It would be fully funded by a very small payroll tax, 0.2% for workers and 0.2% for employers. And that would allow the creation of a trust fund to pay for leave when workers needed to take time off after the birth of a new baby, if they needed to provide care for a seriously ill family member, or if they needed time off to recover from their own serious illness. Hmm. And I want to emphasize that this is different than paid sick days. You know, when we're talking about paid sick days, that's a day here or there because you have the flu or because you need to take care of a child with the chicken pox. This is more for long-term care. You're going to need several weeks off, maybe a couple of months off to care for a newborn baby. And so that's why it's funded as a social insurance program through payroll taxes, as opposed to being something that's funded through the employer like a short-term paid sick day would be.
All right. I want to get at least a couple of callers into this conversation. Let's go to Sarah, who's calling from Quincy. Hi, Sarah. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to add in, I just welcomed our first child in November.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I went back to work last week. He was 10 weeks old, and I was ready to go back to work, so I felt okay going back. And I am one of the few lucky ones. I got full pay during my maternity leave, and I got that because I had to use my vacation and sick time. And I know of some people who had babies around the same time as me who were only able to take like 3 or 4 weeks off because they were taking unpaid leave. And I just remember what I was like when my baby was 3 or 4 weeks old, and I can't imagine having to go back to work at that point, especially because, you know, with the hormones and everything that's going on, I don't think that I would be a productive employee, and I don't think that it would benefit my employer if I had gone back at that time.
All right, Sarah, thanks so much for the call. So Sarah Jane Glynn, there's Sarah from Quincy talking about saved up sick time and vacation pay. But that would she'd represented a relatively small group of workers across the country that have that benefit?
Well, yeah, and you know, one of the things that is problematic about that is if people end up using all of their accrued time, whether it's paid vacation or paid sick days, whatever they have, once if they've used that all up to recover from childbirth, which doctors recommend a minimum of 6 to 8 weeks in terms of recovery time. So once you've used that up, what do you do for well baby visits? You know, there's going to be additional time off that you're going to need to provide care for a child, even if you are ready physically to go back to work. And there's a lot of data that shows that when women have access to paid leave after the birth of a child, their children end up receiving better health care. There are higher rates of breastfeeding. There are a number of benefits beyond just being able to spend time and bond with the child. There are health benefits to that as well, both for moms and for babies.
Our time is running down, but Bill Vernon, I want to give you at least the last 15 or 20 seconds or so to leave us with one more thought here.
Well, my only thought is that I understand, obviously, that people need time off. I would say that let's focus on a small business of 5 employees where somebody is gone. That's 20% of the workforce. People want to be paid, but they're not producing anything for that small business. That's a difficult thing for small businesses that are struggling. We all know that, to come up with the money to pay that benefit.
Well, the debate will continue. Bill Vernon, I want to thank you very much for coming in. He's the Massachusetts Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
And Sarah Jane Glynn, the Associate Director of the Women's Economic Policy, the Center for American Progress. Sarah Jane, thank you so much for laying this out for us with a national perspective. Many thanks.
My pleasure.
And Kay Kahn, State Representative from Newton. She chairs the Joint Committee on Children, Families, and Persons with Disabilities on Beacon Hill. Representative Kahn, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Listeners, stay with us. More to come. Sports with Bill Littlefield, including Super Bowl haiku. I'm Anthony Brooks with Lisa Mullins. This is Radio Boston.